Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi everyone, my name is Brianna Contreras and I'm an editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this week's episode, I had the pleasure of speaking with Luis Mosquera, CEO of Health Network One, a provider of specialty benefit management services for health insurers. In this discussion, Luis and I talked about how value-driven decisions in a more value-based market can not only better manage costs for health plans, but create a plan of care to best meet patients' needs. In order to do this, Luis strongly encouraged healthcare executives to experience alternative payment models and shared what payers should check off their lists with a new model. Hello, Luis. How are we doing today?
Great, Brianna. How are you?
I'm swell. Thank you. So to get started with our conversation today, can you just first tell our listeners about your role at Health Network One and what the mission is of the organization?
Sure. I am the CEO of Health Network One. We have been around for 22 years and I've been the CEO since we created the entity back then. Our mission is pretty unique. It's really to deliver significant, guaranteed, consistent cost savings to our health plan customers while still delivering high quality care to members and provider satisfaction.
Well, this is wonderful. Thank you. So the basis of our conversation is going to be on value-based care. So would you say Health Network One has always kind of practiced more of that value-based care service then? Or is this, you know, obviously something, you know, you've adapted over time as a number of health organizations have?
That's a great question. And I'll tell you, from the beginning, we realized that reimbursement to providers, especially in the downstream specialty networks, but even at the payers themselves, have historically been fee-for-service based, right? And we always knew, and it was our goal at the onset, to create ways in which we can tie payment and performance in order to achieve cost savings and better outcomes. You know, that, Brianna, as you know, that comes with a lot of challenges, right? even early on, 22 years ago, we were creating models using, subcapitation, flat fee arrangements, and over time created some DRG like case rate programs. So it really is evolving. I always say this business isn't static; it's living and breathing, and you have to be able to continue to learn and react and implement as you learn more.
Of course, thank you. That's wonderful. And now to kind of jump back into or continue on with value-based care, are you able to address the transition overall in healthcare of fee-for-service to value-based care? And what have you been seeing in your role?
Yeah, I in my opinion, it's been slow. Our health plan clients and really all health plans, that they've got lots of challenges just running their day-to-day operation. They've got regulatory compliance, and making the leap from fee-for-service into another model, I think is going to take time. I think they're all in varying degrees of success in that. But I don't think we've even begun to scratch the surface, particularly outside of the hospital type scenarios. I think getting data, using data to that end are things that need to be worked on and really need to be developed a little bit further to be more successful.
Got it. Thank you. Now, why is it important now for payers to adopt new alternative payment models or value-driven initiatives? And how are these new models helping that transition to value-based care?
Well, you know, there's the pure economics of it, right? First and foremost, most of these health plans are dealing with government lines of business, Medicare, Medicaid, and even on the commercial side with the Affordable Care Act lives. Now, the pool of revenue is limited and it grows very slowly. And the demand for services continues to grow and at a pace faster than increases come to the plans from CMS or state Medicaid. So the time is now for the plans to look to as many solutions as possible where good quality care can be given for less. And every day, we continue to see that need continue to grow. And I think, on the other side too, the traditional models or the traditional tools that health plans use to try to control and contain cost, we're also very cumbersome, right? An authorization, limited number of visits or services. It created a lot of provider and member friction and administrative costs. And I'm not quite sure at the end of the day, it really saved money.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And this may be a little bit repetitive to your last response, but what do you recommend payers who are willing to experiment a new model that haven't yet adopt in their payment models? And what are the things they should be checking off their list as an organization that can benefit their members?
Wow, that's a complicated question.
Sorry.
No, it's great. It's a great question. It really is a time and commitment to analyzing data, to understanding the services being rendered, the needs, and what the desired outcome is. We've taken a completely different approach by trying to partner with the provider and eliminate a lot of the paperwork and the cumbersome process and create models where they can immediately care for patients, which increases patient satisfaction. And by the way, right now, a lot of value-based success is really driven by patient satisfaction, more so than I think the ultimate goal of real quality outcomes, right? The plans have to be able to focus on that. And if they can't, they've got to turn to folks that have developed that expertise or commitment to do that. And another thing, Brianna, is I think they need to look at it one at a time, right? You can't go in and convert your entire model to value-based all at one time, because not every service or specialty is the same. And each one might have a unique twist to it that requires thoughtful analysis.
Right, thank you. Now, are you able to share Health Network One's approach to value-based model and what it's doing for your payers and members? Or for other payers and members?
Right. Well, we've got several models, and like I said early on, I think this evolution to alternative payment and value based is living, breathing, and continuously evolving. But we'll focus on outpatient, physical, occupational, and speech therapy, which is our largest network. And the approach we've taken is really to take the reimbursement and treat it more like a severity adjusted DRG, a case rate, based on the evaluation and plan of care developed by the therapist. So in our model, we like the patients to, get a medical prescription, go to whatever therapist is on our panel, get evaluated, and have that provider send us the information. And that information will go through a very intense clinical review with a peer. Ultimately, that will result in a assignment of a DRG-like case rate, severity adjusted. And I have to tell you that it's very interesting. Once you get peers talking and peers reviewing objective clinical data, we have a 99.3% concurrence rate with the treating providers. What does that do? It really allows the provider to understand they're going to get a case rate, they're going to get paid, start treating the patient. And that one interaction with our therapist really covers the entire episode of care with that patient. They don't have to call back after 5 or 6 visits to get another authorization. They don't have to go through a lot of difficulty in trying to determine what's the appropriate number of visits. We don't dictate visits. We leave that up to the provider. We assign a case rate based on the severity level of each patient.
That's great. Now, for my next question, for these plans who adopt new models, where should they see themselves and their patients, say, in a year or so?
Well, I would hope that the plans would take some of the measures that we're considering as far as when you do institute a model, collect data, and you might find that during the process you need to collect more data or different data in order to quantify success and improvement in outcomes. But again, don't forget that you've got to continue to review, analyze, and learn, and not be afraid to add more data elements to your process so that you can be able to understand and digest what the outcomes really are.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. And Luis, that's actually all I had for you, but I wanted to know if there's anything you'd like to share on this topic for our listeners and readers that I haven't addressed.
Not particularly, other than, I do think we need to make a concerted effort to move to alternative payment models. I think you've got to have some sort of a different compensation model in order for you to successfully transition to value-based care. And not to forget that, part of that process is data-driven and a lot of analysis.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Luis. I appreciate this conversation and your time. I know I've definitely learned much more about this topic in specific, and I'm sure our listeners will benefit to it as well. So thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Brianna.
No problem.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.